May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This day of Pentecost is notorious because it actually peels back the veneer of human identity that we all deal with and we all have issues with. We were raised with the idea that our race and our culture and our ethnicity are paramount. And certainly my being raised and where I was raised, it was at the forefront. And what Pentecost says is that there is actually no difference in an ultimate perspective, from an ultimate perspective, in one's culture, in one's ethnicity, in one's race. There's no difference. We are all one in transgression. We are all one in need, and we are all one as recipients of mercy. Now, if you read through the book of Genesis, after the fall, you will see a progressive intensification of sin or brokenness or self-deification, self-worship. You will see an intensification as Adam and Eve leave the Garden of Eden and as Cain and Abel come to bear and as humanity exists by the hair of its chin. As sin intensifies. And we see the story, and it all sort of goes to the story of the Tower of Babel. If you've read the Tower of Babel, you will know that the people of the earth built this tower they were united in opposition to God. And the tower was like a fist that was pointed upward. And God said, I've got to do something about this. And so he confuses their language. And he, in doing so, ethnicity is created. Cultures become distinct. And humanity begins to become apart from one another, disunified. But the self-worship remained. The sin and the self-deification all remained. And it manifested itself in ethnicity and in race, and in culture. And in doing so, not only was there a fist raised towards God, but there was a fist raised toward one another. And you can see it here. You can see it, this place here in Southwest Houston is a profoundly diverse area with all sorts of different ethnicities, all sorts of different races and cultures. They're all here. We see them. You can come to the school on a weekday, and you can see the diversity of the area. And one of the things that this does is that people, and this is an old story, people take actually, they believe that their righteousness comes from race or culture or ethnicity. And you can see the mistrust. You can see the abuse throughout the years. You can see the bitterness that comes from this division. And of course, I got that feel of that as raised in Alabama. There was a lot of that, and a lot remains. Now, I was so glad that this reading came up because it gives me the opportunity to mention and discuss my favorite movie presently, Close Encounters of the Third Kind from 1977. Has everybody seen Close Encounters? Has anybody not seen Close Encounters? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. You need to see Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I'll lend it to you. I wasn't talking to anybody in particular. But Close Encounters is all about Pentecost. It is an illustration. It is a story that follows Pentecost. And in the beginning, you see all the cultures of the earth. And they're all being addressed by this audible message that comes down from the sky. As a matter of fact, I think we actually might... Could we hear that audible message that these people heard? That's what they all heard. And in that message from above, they were united in hearing, and they're united in this curiosity about what that message contained. And of course, everybody remembers it. It gets down to the particular. It goes from the universal to the particular. And Richard Dreyfuss, if you remember Richard Dreyfuss, he is at the railroad, and he's going off to fix a power line. And he's sitting there, and he sees lights, and he sees the signs going back and forth, and that mailbox is opening up, and things moving around, and a big spaceship comes down right over his truck, and it shines this big light on him. And he, you remember he had the sun, that half of his face was sunburned? You remember that? That was a brilliant. I just love that part. Half of his face was sunburned. And he receives something. He receives something that begins to manifest later. And he's compelled to go to this place. Do you remember where he was compelled to go? To Devil's Tower, Wyoming. Now, if you didn't believe that this is a biblical allusion before, Devil's Tower, Tower of Babel, could it be the same? I don't know. Maybe. I think so. But there at the at Devil's Tower in Wyoming, he shows up and he finds all of these nationalities who have gathered together, and they are going to meet the aliens. And of course, Francois Truffaut is there. I mean, who wouldn't want to go somewhere where Francois Truffaut wasn't? And of course, he was speaking his wonderful French language, and it's terrific. Now, the aliens come down, and something new, something never before seen, happens at Devil's Tower in Wyoming, a nothing place in a very isolated region of North America. And it trumps the name of Devil's Tower, because the benevolence and the goodwill that comes down out of the sky is the culmination of the whole movie. Now, what does that have to do with Pentecost? It has a lot to do with Pentecost, because the apostles were sitting in this one place, it says, Acts, so they were sitting all in one place, and something like wind comes into the house. And you can tell that something, something. You remember in John 3 where Jesus says the wind blows where it will, and you don't know where it's going to go. And of course, the wind comes in, and the Spirit comes in, and tongues of flames come down, and they rest on the heads of the apostles. And of course, this scene. This scene is an amazing scene, because it is so supernatural, and it makes very worldly people very nervous, and it makes very rational people very nervous, and they say, oh, that couldn't happen, because it's so supernatural. And a friend of mine, who is actually a mentor of mine, he's the retired dean of the cathedral in Alabama, Frank Limehouse, he calls this person Mr. Worldly Wise Man. Mr. Worldly Wise Man has a difficult time with Acts 2, because it is so supernatural. And then the apostles begin to speak in other languages. And you have, as Lou read, you have these nations that are read out that span the east and the west and the north and the south of all the known world from Palestine, and the vastness of the geography. And the other language, and the apostles in the other languages began speaking the works of God. They began speaking the gospel. They began speaking the audible word from above that trumps the devil's tower and trumps the Tower of Babel. And in doing this, God is fashioning the new creation. The new creation begins with the resurrection, but the new creation is jump-started by the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And it begins to heal. It begins to recreate the creation that we have damaged. It begins to heal the chaos that we created. And it does this by using an audible message. An audible message. And instead of people who are united in rebellion against God, this audible message calls and it unites people as objects of grace, as beneficiaries of a new world, a new word, and a new world. So whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're Asian, whether you're college educated, whether you're blue collar, whether you're a secular Westerner or a born-again Mandarin Chinese, no matter how much we pretend otherwise, we are all united in need because we have no leverage. We have no leverage with God in ourselves. Our culture does not give it. Our race does not give it. Our ethnicity does not give it. And our works do not give it. But with the word, the audible word of the gospel, we become united as hearers, as hearers. And so to those who have ears, let them hear. They are a part of a new work, a part of a fresh work. And it began on a historical day of Pentecost, a long, long ago, a new work that strips down human identity and it builds it on anew on a word and on a place that actually matters. You know, there's been a lot of effort over the course of human history to unify humanity. Some people try to do it with coercion, and some people try to do it by appealing to the baser instincts of the human creature, self-interest. And you see a lot of chin strokers on TV, and they puzzle over the problems of life. But unity, something new, will only happen supernaturally. It will only happen by an alien word. It began on an actual day in history when tongues of fire brought forth words of grace. So for those with ears to hear, let them hear. Amen.